Senate will come to order, please. Senate will come to order for the 107th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence this morning?
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. A quorum is present for the Senate to conduct its business. The Senator Chaplin this morning is Senator Rick Halford. Would everyone please stand for the prayer?
Our God, we ask for the faith to extend ourselves in caring for others. We ask for the grace to forgive others and ourselves. We ask for the hope to stand in the light of understanding. And as we finish this session, give us the tolerance to see people and issues through each other's eyes. Amen. Amen.
Senator Fisher, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to thank the Senator from Eagle River for a very fine prayer this morning, and wish that that be spread in the journal.
Hearing no objections, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. Madam Secretary, will you show Senator Fahrenkamp's presence in the chambers, please? May we have the certification of the journal for the 106th legislative day and Senate supplement number 17.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 106th legislative day and Senate supplement number 17.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate approve the journal for the 106th legislative day and Senate supplement number 17 as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Hearing no objections, the journal for the 106th legislative day and Senate supplement number 17 has been approved by the Senate as certified by the Senate Secretary. Do we have introduction of guests this morning? Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. It's with great pleasure on behalf of Senator Petula and I to introduce constituents visiting through the ARCO CAP program. And what I'll do is read off a list of names, ask them to stand. Tom Metzler, Steve Sonier, Joanne Lewis, Shirley Wiggins, Susan Hagen, and last but not least, an old friend, Sandy Fanati, all in the gallery behind me. Welcome, all, please.
Further introduction of guests? Further introduction of guests? Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor today, Madam President.
Messages from the House of Representatives.
May 4, 1987, the House passed the following in return. Senate Concurrent Resolution No. 6 relating to designation by the governor of Suntranamine as a historic site. This has been sent to enrolling and then on to the governor. And that is the only message from the House this morning.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications today.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The State Affairs Committee considers Senate Joint Resolution No. 41, Siberian Crossing and Cultural Exchange. Senator Abood, Chairman, and Senators Ewing, Hensley, and Josephson signed do pass with a zero fiscal note. SJR 41 has a further referral to Community and Regional Affairs. The Finance Committee considers Senate Bill No. 182, State Oil and Gas Lease Sales, and recommends adoption of the Resources Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Binkley, co-chairman, concurring Senator Zaroff, Duncan, Hensley, Ewing, and Bennett. SB 182 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for calendaring.
The Finance Committee considers Senate Bill number 201, Local Agricultural and Fisheries Product Preference, recommends adoption of the State Affairs Committee substitute. Senator Binkley, co-chairman, and Senators Zaroff, Duncan, Ewing, Hensley, and Bennett recommend adoption of this State Affairs Committee substitute and do pass. SB 201 has no further referral.
Rules Committee, please.
The Finance Committee considers Senate Bill number 243, appropriating all proceeds to the Dinkum Sands case to the Budget Reserve Fund. Senator Binkley, co-chairman, and Senators Duncan, Ewling, Hensley, Bennett, and Jaroff signed do pass, adopted the zero fiscal note. SB 243 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 276, issuance of a brewery license. Senator Abood, chairman, and Senators Ewling and Josephson signed do pass with a zero fiscal note. SB 276 has a further referral to Judiciary. And those are the standing committee reports today.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 29 by the Resources Committee, relating to the water quality standards regarding turbidity under the Clean Water Act.
This will be referred to the Resources Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution number 44 by the Resources Committee, relating to the water quality standards of the state of Alaska under the Clean Water Act.
Resources Committee.
And those were the two new resolutions.
We have introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 289 by Senator Coghill, an act establishing the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Policy Council and providing for an effective date.
Resources Committee.
Senate Bill number 290 by Senator Eliason, an act relating to supplying false information on fish tickets.
Resources Committee.
And those were new bills today.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill number 227 by Senators Ewling and Fakes, an act relating to claims of state agencies to permanent fund dividends. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute State Affairs. Senator Abood, chairman, and Senator Ewling signed do pass with a zero fiscal note. Senator Hensley signed no recommendation. The Judiciary Committee waived referral. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted and do pass. Signed Senator Binkley, co-chairman, concurring Senators Jaroff, Duncan, Fisher, Ewling, Hensley, and Bennett.
Madam Secretary, will you note Senator Curtula's presence in the chambers, please? Mr. State Affairs Chairman.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the unanimous consent committee substitute for Senate Bill number 227, State Affairs, be adopted in lieu of the original.
Hearing no objections, the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 is adopted and before the body.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 227, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to claims of state agencies to permanent fund dividends.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Szymanski.
Madam President, I was curious, in looking over the calendar, it indicates their finance report's page 1122, but it says fiscal impact. And does that note a fiscal impact that was picked up in the Finance Committee?
Mr. Senator Binkley?
Thank you, Madam President. There is a fiscal note attached from post-secondary education. As a matter of fact, we're just having it photocopied and distributed right now. I believe it shows a savings in FY88 of $673,000. And then subsequent savings of approximately $300,000 per year through FY92.
Are there any amendments? Senator Kelly?
I'll wait until we get to third.
Thank you, sir.
There are no amendments.
Senator Szymanski, for the purpose of an amendment?
Well, maybe a question, and then I can determine. Maybe be to the sponsor. The fiscal note presented now just handed out shows a net savings approximately $670,000. What is the cost of administration, if any, to the legislation if it's implemented? In other words, is there a burden in addition to this?
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. We do also have a fiscal note from the Department of Revenue, which is dated 4/13/87, which would indicate an additional $6,500 per year. Most of this money would be used to pay for the printing, the notices, and for the postage to mail out notices in regard to a public hearing that would be required on the bill in the cases of a hearing, if one has to come about, in regard to garnishment of a permanent fund dividend check. This would apply, of course, to all state agencies, but the Revenue Department would be the one that would bear the responsibility with just a $6,000 note.
There are no amendments. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Hearing no objections, the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 is before us in final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 227, State Affairs, an act relating to claims of state agencies to permanent fund dividends.
Is there discussion or debate? Senator Kelly.
Madam Chair, a question to the sponsor. As I understand this bill, this allows the state to reclaim a dividend, for example, if a student is default on a student loan payment. And so the question is, does that allow 100% recovery of the dividend? And secondly, I thought the figure was more like $4 or $5 million a year if we were able to recover all of the defaulted student loan permanent fund dividends.
Senator Euling.
Thank you, Madam President. The Post-Secondary Education Committee gave us the $670,000 figure. Presently, what they're doing is they're going through the court system right now to recover default on student loans. Right now, we have $41 million worth of student loans which are in default. What they did is they ran a tape over at the computer center, which indicated all the people that actually were in default but had been missed. In other words, people who received a permanent fund dividend check, but they weren't able to get them through the court system. So I think that's where the $670,000 figure comes from. Now, the other thing is that if we could garnish that permanent fund dividend check, there might be some additional cost savings in what we're paying right now for our court costs, and we could alleviate some of those problems. Thirdly, just the fact that there'll be publicity on this will maybe get more people to make more timely payments on their student loans if they know that they're going to be watched on their permanent fund dividend check. However, this does apply to all state agencies, not just the student loan program, so it would allow recovery in other areas, and I would appreciate if we could maybe get a report from all the agencies by the next legislative session, which would indicate where our cost savings are in every department, because there will be cost savings in every department.
Further discussion, Senator Szymanski.
Well, thank you, Madam President. Maybe again to the sponsor, I'm a little concerned about due process in the in what we're establishing here, and that is that it would appear, maybe I don't understand that well, but an individual could, in essence, have their permanent fund dividend attached by a state agency, whatever that agency may be, without following the proper court process. In other words, it could be in litigation, and they'd still end up losing it. Is that correct?
Senator Euling.
Thank you, Madam President. I can only speak to the bill, but on the second page of the bill, it essentially says that there is a hearing process, which we did put in, and this would allow people to have a hearing within 10 days after they received a notice from the department so that there would be due process.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the question's been called. The question being, shall the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 pass the State Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 nay. Next item on the calendar. Senator Binkley.
Could we have a brief at ease, please?
Hearing no objections, the Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order, please. The next item on the calendar is Senate Bill 226.
Senate Bill number 226 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the practice of optometry. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill, recommends due pass, a majority due pass of amendments, signed Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Jones, and Hofford attached the zero fiscal note. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee's substitute, LNC. Senator Eliason, Chairman, and Senator Ewling signed do pass. Senator Zemanski signed no recommendation. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the committee's substitute rules with a new title and calendar on May 5. Signed, Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Bennett, Hensley, and Binkley. There are two committee substitutes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Mr. Rules, Chairman.
Madam President, I move the Rules Committee substitute and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing no objections, there is objection. Do you wish to speak to your objection?
Just Senator very Sturgill briefly, could the Rules Committee Chair explain the addition on page 3, lines 26 and 28?
Madam President,
Senator,
to answer that question, those are the there are two changes made by the Rules Committee at the request of the committee of the group that was putting the bill together. That was composed of the Alaska Opticians Society, the Alaska Optometry Association, and the ophthalmologists. We're working as a team to get this bill through the legislature. And at their request, the two changes made in the rules, one was the title, which put regulation in and deleted practice, and the exemption clause was put in at their request. That's the only difference between that bill and the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute.
Senate will stand at ease, hearing no objection. Senate will come back to order, please. We do have Senate Bill 226 before us. The motion is pending for the adoption of the Rules Committee committee substitute. Senator Sturgilewski.
Madam President, I withdraw my objection. I was concerned to see that a final resolution of this issue between the optometrist and the ophthalmologist would not negatively impact the opticians, and this section merely says everything is really okay, and I remove my objection.
Thank you. Is there any other objection to the adoption of the Rules CS? Senator Fisher. We are under the motion of the adoption of the Rules Committee CS for Senate Bill 226. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 226 is before us.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 226 rules for the Rules Committee, an act relating to the regulation of optometry.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 226 be considered engrossed, advance the third reading, and placed in final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 226 is before this body in final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 226 rules, an act relating to the regulation of optometry.
And please note the new title. Please note the new title. And Senator Fisher, you're seeking the floor, sir.
Yes, Madam Chairman. This particular bill, as it went through the legislative process, had the concurrence at each stage of the game of the optometrists, the opticians, and also the medical profession. And this is kind of unique. This bill's been around year after year after year, and the chair has insisted in the beginning that you work it out, you work something out, we would support it, at least I would support it, and this is really a bill they're all in agreement with, which I think is a milestone.
Further discussion. Senator Curtula.
We're allowing the opticians, people that practice optometry, to do eye dilations, not only get the drugs for eye dilations. That's one of the things we're doing. The ophthalmologists had been in opposition to that for an extended period. And the testimony is that the representatives of the ophthalmologists do not oppose this anymore. What is the further testimony that the medical school or somebody that's competent to teach at a medical school level now teaches the schools of optometry and the use of these particular drugs?
Senator Josephson.
My understanding is, first, as the senator indicates, that the training of optometrists includes the use of these substances for diagnostic purposes. This is only for diagnosis, and it only applies if the optometry board gives the individual an endorsement to his or her license, which implies that that person has received the requisite training. Not all optometrists would automatically have this capacity under the bill.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 226 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 226 has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 50 be returned to the Rules Committee.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 50 will be returned to the Rules Committee. Next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 39 by Senator Zuroff, an act relating to real estate brokers and salespersons and to the Real Estate Commission and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill, recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute, LNC, with a new title and a majority do pass. Signed Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senator Buehling and Szymanski. They attached a revenue fiscal negative impact note. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends adoption of the LNC committee substitute. Senator Curtula, Chairman, signed no recommendation. Signing do pass for Senators Josephson, Strzelewski, and Rohde. Senator Hallford signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends adoption of the LNC committee substitute. Senator Binkley, co-chairman, and Senator Jara, Duncan, Fisher, Ewling, Hensley, and Bennett signed do pass and adopted the previous fiscal impact negative note. There's an LNC committee substitute.
Senator Kelly.
Madam President, move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Labor Committee substitute.
Hearing no objections, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 39 is before this body.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 39, LNC, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Real Estate Commission and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 39 be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 39 is before us in final passage.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 39, LNC, an act relating to the Real Estate Commission and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Kelly.
Madam President, Senate Bill 39 extends the Real Estate Commission to 1991, moves it back from a semi-autonomous board into the Division of Occupational Licensing at a savings of about $150,000 a year.
Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 39 pass the State Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. So the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for Senate Bill 39 is passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 62, Resources, be held for one legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader, before, would you withdraw that motion, please? We have an effective date on 39.
Excuse me, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 39 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the roll call vote on the final passage of the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for 39 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Now, Mr. Majority Leader.
And Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 62, Resources, be held for one legislative day.
Hearing no objections, the Resources Committee substitute for Senate Bill 62 will be held one legislative day and will appear on tomorrow's calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 21 by Senators Hensley, Curtula, Binkley, Duncan, Eliason, and Jaroff relating to the need for a rural housing assessment. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this resolution. Senator Sturdalewski, Chairman, and Senator Kelly signed do pass and attached a fiscal impact note. Senator Szymanski signed a recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this resolution. Senator Binkley, Co-Chairman, and Senators Jaroff, Duncan, Fisher, Ewing, Hensley, and Bennett signed do pass.
Is there any discussion? The bill is before us for final passage. Senator Hensley?
Madam President, the last comprehensive housing survey done in the rural areas was in 1980, and there's been substantial gains in housing in the urban areas, but there's an estimated 4,700 units that are needed in the rural areas. In 1980, the census found that 80% of the housing in the rural areas was substandard. And ISER and CH2M Hill determined that at least 60% were substandard in 1982. So I think the conditions are deteriorating. I believe this study would help us get a better handle on what's happening, especially with the growth in populations up in those areas.
Senator Sturdalewski.
I'm certainly in support of this, but here is a case where the legislature passed a rather sizable amount of money in, I believe, 1981 that would lead to establishing an ongoing program of housing assessment so that we wouldn't be forced with the good senator from Northwest Alaska having to come in. And they were given very clear and very explicit directions by the legislature, and I would hope that as this goes forward that we can see that the department will establish an ongoing method of doing this. We spend millions of dollars on those programs, and we shouldn't go out and invent the wheel. I'm sorry this has to be done, but it does, and I will certainly work to see that some mechanism is there so we won't have to come back in a couple of years and do the same thing again.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall Senate concurrent resolution number 21 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. So Senate concurrent resolution number 21 is passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas.
Senate joint resolution number 28 by Senators Hensley, Binkley, Duncan, Eliason, Krutula, Rohde, Jaroff, and Szymanski, relating to housing programs of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered this resolution. Senator Sturdalewski, Chairman, and Senators Kelly and Szymanski signed do pass with a zero fiscal note. Labor and Commerce considered this resolution. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senators Eliason, Ewing, and Szymanski signed do pass.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 28 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed in final passage.
Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution Number 28 is before the Senate in final passage.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 28 relating to the housing programs of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President. Last year there were 642 applications for HUD housing units and only 200 were funded, and this simply urges that this much needed program continue.
Is there further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the question's been called. The question being, shall Senate Joint Resolution 28 pass the State Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. So Senate Joint Resolution number 28 is passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Brings us to the citation calendar.
A citation honoring Maxine Walton by Senators Coghill, Bennett, and Fahrenkamp, and Representatives Miller, Frank, Davis, Boyer, Kopanen, and Schultz.
Is there any discussion? Senator Binkley.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor.
Hearing no objection, Senator Binkley will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Maxine Walton citation. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the citation appearing on today's calendar be adopted by the Senate.
Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we revert to reports of standing committees.
Hearing no objections, we will revert to reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee considers Senate Bill No. 209, Mortgage Loans Purchased by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, relating to bonds issued by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Senator Binkley, co-chairman, signed no recommendation, signing due pass for Senators Jara, Duncan, Fisher, Hensley, Ewling, and Bennett. Senate Bill No. 209 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for Ballinger.
That's the only other standing committee report I have.
Brings us down to unfinished business. Senator Sturgeliski.
Yes, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we waive from Senate Community and Regional Affairs Senate Joint Resolution No. 41 relating to Siberian Crossing and Cultural Exchange, all in goodwill with our neighbors in the Soviet Union.
Hearing no objections, that bill will be waived from Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Senator Abood.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 46, an act relating to regulation of insurance and providing for an effective date, be waived from the State Affairs to the next committee referral, which is Labor and Commerce.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 46 relating to insurance will be waived from State Affairs and go to Labor and Commerce. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. Several things. First, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be added as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 201, an act relating to the local agricultural and fisheries product preference. And also,
hearing no objection, Senator Binkley will be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 201 relating to local ag and fish products.
Also like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Resolution No. 25 relating to the University of Alaska Community College System.
Hearing no objection, Senator Binkley will be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Resolution No. 25 relating to the community college system.
Also like to move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Resolution 25 relating to the University of Alaska Community College System be given an additional Finance Committee referral.
Hearing no objection, Senate Resolution No. 25 will be given an additional referral to the Finance Committee.
And finally, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 108, an act relating to right-of-way lease applications, be waived from Finance. Next committee of referral is Rules.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 108 dealing with right-of-way applications will be referred to the Rules Committee. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Abood.
Thank you, Madam President. Moving and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the floor of the Senate tomorrow without subject to call on state business.
Hearing no objection, Senator Abood will be excused from the call of the Senate tomorrow on state business. Further unfinished business. Are there announcements? Senator Sturgeliski.
Yes, Community and Regional Affairs today at 3:30, SB 263, Administration of State Grants, SB 282, Municipal Sales and Use Taxes, and SB 284, Granting State Land to Nome.
Thank you. Further announcements, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Madam President, a reminder this afternoon at 3:30 in the Belts Room, the Special Committee on Oil and Gas will be hearing SJR 43, the shipping of Alaska oil. And I'd like to especially invite the chairman and the members of the Labor Commerce Committee and the Resources Committee to hear that with us in the hopes that we can rush that legislation along through the other two committees.
Thank you. Senator Jones.
Madam President, the Transportation Committee will meet at 1:30 this afternoon in the Belts Room, and the agenda is posted.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Senator Curtula.
At 1:30 in the Belts Room.
Thank you, sir. Senator Duncan.
Just a reminder, the DEC budget closeout is after Finance adjourns this afternoon, whenever that might be. It'll be in the Senate Finance Room.
Thank you, sir. Senator Eliason.
Madam President, rules will meet this afternoon at 1 o'clock in the Belts Room. We'll be taking up
SB 182 relating to state oil and gas lease sales, SB 201 relating to local ag and fishery product preference, Senate Bill 243 appropriating all proceeds of the Duncan Sands case to the Budget Reserve Fund, SR 14 relating to the Bureau of Land and Management draft utility corridor resource management plan, SR 22 supporting the environmentally sound development and construction of a natural gas pipeline system, SGR 7 relating to oil and gas exploration, development, and production within the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Alaska, SCS HJR 23 relating to tributylin, HCR 21 relating to Sioux, of Alaska Products and Services, SB 209, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, at 1 o'clock.
Thank you, sir. Senator Kelly.
The Labor Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow, and the bills were posted last week, with the addition of House Bill 46, an act relating to regulation of insurance and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Special orders? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, President. Moving to ask unanimous consent to speak very briefly, the privilege of the floor, regarding the oil patch.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you do have the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to quote, if I might, Fortune magazine of March 16, 87. Quote, a surprising consensus has developed amongst petroleum export worldwide that the benchmark Saudi light crude will sell at a range of $18 to $20 a barrel measured in 1987 dollars for several years to come. End of quote. Next item I'd like to touch on briefly, the spot on non-contract price of West Texas Intermediate, the barometer for U.S. oil prices, yesterday sold at $18.90. The spot price for ANS crude on the Gulf Coast was $18.15 to $18.20. The other thing that I think is very, very interesting, we've checked with other states who, in fact, do have oil considerations in building their state budget. And I might burden you with Texas is currently building their budget based on $15.37. Louisiana, as I stated the other day, is $19 oil. Wyoming is roughly $20 oil. Oklahoma is $16.50. California, I might add, has not changed their base price for oil for well over a year, and they've been carrying it at $14.10. New Mexico is basing theirs on $15 a barrel oil. Our budget in the state of Alaska, we are preparing it based on $13 a barrel oil. I think that the rest of the world should hurry up and catch up with us.
Thank you, Senator. Further special orders, Senator Farenkamp.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I have the privilege of the floor to discuss the meeting this afternoon and the effects on Alaska.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor.
The resolution that I have urged the other two committee of a reference to attend with us this afternoon affects the ruling on the CDS tankers and will cost the state of Alaska, if this rule does not come into effect, between $18 million and $150 million annually. The ruling, they must adopt a rule by July 16th of 1987. So that is the reason for the urgency, and I do hope that we can act on this quickly and get it to the other body so that we can have our resolution into the Department of Transportation and others so that this rule will be instituted as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Senator Strzelczewski.
Move and ask unanimous consent to speak on a piece of good news.
Hearing no objection, Senator, you do have the floor for good news.
Thank you. Short time ago, you joined with me in a citation for Pam Flowers, who is going to take off an attempt to reach a solo trip to geographic North Pole. Mm-hmm. And some very serious money problems that continued after she was out on the ice, forced a cancellation of that. But not to be deterred, this tiny little lady who doesn't even reach 5 feet joined with Kate Persons, and they did become the first women to reach the magnetic North Pole. Had lots of adventures, particularly it's a polar bear region. They came and broke into the camp, ate dog food, tore up the tent, but they did make it, and I think that's just great. And she'll go for the big one again next year.
Thank you, Senator. Further special orders? Senator Halford.
Madam President, can we revert to announcements?
Hearing no objections, we will revert to announcements.
Thank you, Madam President. The Justice for Children group is having a dinner this evening in conjunction with the Alaska Victims Fly-In. It's at 6 p.m. at the Blanket Haida Community Center at 3 Mile.
Thank you, sir. Further special orders? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Brief at ease.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will stand at ease. We'll come back to order, please. The Senate will come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam President. Could we revert to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objections, the Senate will revert to introduction of guests. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, joining us in the galleries are a number of people that came for the victims fly-in. Because we're just about to adjourn, we won't try to announce them and introduce them individually, but I wish they would all stand, and we'll certainly be glad to meet you individually. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Eliason.
Madam President, under introduction, I'd like to introduce an old friend of mine. He's a former Commissioner of Public Safety, Dick Burton.
Hearing no further introductions, we're back to special orders. Are there further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment and stand in recess until technical session at 4 o'clock when we'll read bills forward.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will be recessed until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Please. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate return to messages from the other House.
Hearing no objections, the Senate will revert to messages from the House of Representatives.
Message of May 5, the House passed and transmitted for consideration. House Concurrent Resolution Number 23 by Representative Cato relating to the 19th Annual Girls' State.
State Affairs Committee.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 24 relating to the 21st Annual Boys' State by Representative Cato.
State Affairs Committee.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 40, financed by the Finance Committee, and that creating the Telecommunications Information Council in the Office of the Governor and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 132, financed by the Finance Committee, an act approving and ratifying executive restrictions on the fiscal year 1987 operating budget and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 177, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Second Injury Fund and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce, Judiciary, and Finance Committee.
Those were the messages from the House.
Senate will stand at ease. Communications.
We have no communications.
We have reports from standing committees.
The Transportation Committee considered Senate Resolution Number 23 requesting that the highway speed limit be raised to 65 miles per hour. Senator Jones, Chairman, and Senators Coghill and Fahrenkamp signed do pass, attached a fiscal impact note. Senator Kelly signed do not pass until some facts are known, and Senator Abood signed no recommendation needs more study. SR 23 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for quick calendaring.
The Resources Committee considers Senate Bill Number 81, Alaska Power Authority, and recommends it be replaced with the Committee Substitute Resources. Adopted the previous zero fiscal note. Senator Coghill, Chairman, and Senators Jones, Sharoff, and Duncan signed do pass. Senators Elias and Sturgiluski and Fisher signed no recommendation. SB 81 has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee considers Senate Bill Number 153, penalty imposed for certain traffic offenses. Senator Curtula, Chairman, and Senators Crawford, Josephson, Sturgiluski, and Rohde signed do pass. 2-0 and one fiscal impact note were attached. SB 153 has a further referral to Finance. The Transportation Committee considered Senate Bill Number 268, enforcement of compliance with financial responsibility and certificate of compliance requirements for air carriers. Senator Jones, Chairman, and Senators Abood and Coghill signed do pass, attached a fiscal impact note. Senator Kelly signed do not pass. SB 268 has further referral to Finance. Community and Regional Affairs considered Senate Bill Number 282, municipal sales and use taxes. Senator Strzelczyk, chairman, and Senators Crawford and Szymanski signed DUPAS. SB 282 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Judiciary Committee considered House Bill number 121, repealing a provision related to payment of costs by private prosecutor. Senator Krutula, chairman, and Senators Josephson and Strzelczyk signed DUPAS. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. House Bill 121 has a further referral to Finance. Committee considered the following and recommend that they be countered on May 6th. Senate Resolution Number 14, Bureau of Land Management Draft Utility Corridor Resource Management Plan. Senate Resolution Number 22, supporting the environmentally sound development and construction of a natural gas pipeline system. Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, Oil and Gas Exploration, Development and Production within ANMR. Senate Bill Number 201, Local Agricultural and Fisheries Product Preference. Senate Bill Number 243, appropriating all proceeds of the Dinkum Sands case to the Budget Reserve Fund. Senate Bill Number 72, prohibiting salaries for certain employees from exceeding the governor's salary. Signed Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Binkley, Fakes, and Hensley. These do appear on tomorrow's calendar. No other standing committee reports today.
Do we have reports of special committees?
The Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 43, Shipping of Alaska Oil. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, and Senator Coghill signed DUPAS. SJR 43 has a further referral to Labor and Commerce, and that was the only special committee report.
Do we have introduction of resolutions?
We don't have any new resolutions this afternoon.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill Number 291 by Senator Abood by request, an act relating to collection agency offices.
State Affairs Committee, Labor and Commerce.
And that was the only new bill.
Do we have any unfinished business? Senator Fahrenkamp.
Madam President, on behalf of the Chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce referrals to Senate Joint Resolution Number 43 relating to the shipping of Alaska oil, that the referral to Labor and Commerce be waived.
Excuse me, Senator Fahrenkamp, you wish the Labor and Commerce referral to be waived on that bill?
On behalf of the Chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee, as a member of that committee, I wish the Labor and Commerce Committee referral to be waived. It has a further hearing in resources.
Hearing no objections, the SJR 43 will be waived from Labor and Commerce Committee with the concurrence of the Chairman of Labor and Commerce. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the referral to Resources Committee for Senate Joint Resolution 43, Shipping of Alaska Oil, be waived.
Hearing no objections, Senate Joint Resolution Number 43 will be waived from the Resources Committee. Which committee of referral does it now have?
Rules.
It'll go to the Rules Committee. It has had a public hearing?
Yes.
It has had a public hearing. Okay. Then that bill, Senate Joint Resolution Number 43, then, will go to the Rules Committee. Senator Coghill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the five-day rule be waived on Senate Bill 289, which is establishing the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Policy Council. One at a time.
Hearing no objections, Senate Bill 289, establishing the ANWR Policy Council. The five-day notice on that bill will be waived. Sir, when do you wish to bring that
tomorrow
up? Tomorrow. Tomorrow in Resources Committee?
Tomorrow in Resources, Madam President. I have two other resolutions. Madam President, I move and ask consent that the five-day rule be waived on Senate Joint Resolution Number 44, which is the water standards resolution, and Senate Concurrent Resolution 29, which is water turbidity, and so that we can hear them tomorrow also.
Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution Number 44 on water standards will be heard in Resources tomorrow on the five-day notice waived on that. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 29 dealing with water turbidity, the five-day notice will be waived on that so that it can be heard in Resources Committee. Further unfinished business? Announcements. special orders. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Hearing no objection, the Senate is adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.